Folks, as you and I walk through this world as Christians, and that's what my focus has been this year and will continue throughout this year, what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does that mean? Does that mean that you're going to be flawless? No. Does that mean that you're going to always make the right decision? No. From the cross, I accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. Now, from that point, as a Christian, I do life. Life. You know, I know when I said yes to Jesus Christ and here I'll fly away, oh glory, to hear that. And I'm so excited at that moment in my life. Okay, Lord, let's get the flying away going here because I'm ready to go. But there's a world of folk that aren't. God knows the very last personality that will ever exist that to accept him, he will know that. And he only knows that. In between, you and I do life. You know, being in a prison system for as many years as I was is called life without parole. Well, my life is on parole. Folks, I mean that the Lord looked at the sin in my life and he said, Larry, you call on my name and I will forgive you. I call on his name and he does. And he said, your sentence has been not suspended, not held over. It has been completely done away with. What sins are you talking about? Do you know you and I are the only ones that truly remember all the bad things we've ever done? We're the ones who have that memory. And Satan loves to use it. Well, you know, you're just not good enough to serve me. There was only one good enough. His name is Jesus. Therefore, when I said yes to Jesus Christ, when God sent me out from the cross to do life, he sent me out to deal with reality living. Now, I want you to do life, Larry. I want you to experience life. I want you to see the hurt and the pain that'll go through an individual when they lose a loved one. For me, I want you to see war. I want you to see combat. I want you to be in it. I want you to smell it. I want you to witness the devastation of it. But once you and I do that in our life, living our own individual lives, again, the path God has for me, nobody else has his path any more than anyone can have the path he has for you. We are all different personalities. We are all called by God for a specific task, many times a multiplicity of those tasks. We are called by God to walk before him doing life. Oh, I just can't wait until life is over. Remember last week with Ezekiel. Remember when Ezekiel said, no, she's going to kill me, Jezebel. So he takes off running. He goes, sits under a tree and says, God, please take my life. Yeah, you should have, what I said was? Elijah, thank you. Always correct the pastor. I love it when kids do that. Wait a minute, Brother Larry. And I know their parents put them up to it too. But that's great because we need to make certain that as we're doing that life, that we understand that God says, I've given you this journey. And this journey that you're walking on always means that Christ is on that journey with you. But folks, when the Lord calls us to live life, he doesn't say, okay, here's A to B. This is the walk. He says, here's your path. Now you have from A to Z. to follow that path, because you're going to do it by choice, not because you're mandated, but because you love the Lord and because He loves us. And through that path, do you not believe that Jesus knows the pitfalls and knows when we're going to throw ourselves in the ditch of life and knows when we cry out, "Lord, I promise I'll never do it again," realizing that He knows I'm going to do it again. As long as I stay in this broken body, this existence that God has given me, you and I need to take to heart this. We are not flawless. Preachers make mistakes all the time. Teachers make mistakes. Well, everyone messes up. It's not the idea of do you mess up. It's the idea of do you get up after that mess up has knocked you down. It is called truth. It's called life. Now, Larry, you go do life. I've been blessed with many years, folks, many. October the 17th, I'll be 70 years old. I've been blessed with so many times of life, the enjoyment, the pain, the suffering. But God says it's not that period of age, Larry, that I look at. It's the path. I want you to follow my path. And when you have fulfilled what I've called you to do, then I will call you home to be with me. That's my retirement. It's not in this world. And what you and I need to look at is God loves me when I'm right. He loves me when I'm wrong. Just get up and keep walking, but I don't know what direction. Get up and start walking. God will do the rest. He said, do what you can. There's an equation for success I want to give you this morning. Faith is a part of the equation. It's the beginning of the equation for success, meaning that I understand that through faith, I see, but I don't see. It is the faith knowing that Jesus Christ is exactly who He says He is and was when He was walking and is today and that He's coming back. That's faith. I have never seen Christ face to face. To my knowledge, I've never faced an angel from heaven. No, except for the one I married. But I have never... Oh, gosh. You want to make your wife sick, distraught. Okay, faith. Faith is believing in what you don't see. Well, when you have faith, listen to the equation, then from faith I go to trust. I trust the one that I have the faith in. His name is Jesus. I trust Him. So therefore, faith plus trust goes to risk. Folks, let me read this scripture first before I finish that. Luke 19, verse 26. Risk your life and get more than you ever dreamed of. Play it safe and end up holding the bag. That's from the Message version. Faith, trust, and when you have the faith and trust in the Lord, folks, there's risk in life. Do you ever watch people that they would want to hide the doomsday folks? You know, we have our little huts underground. We're safe in case of all of this. Folks, my heart is to the people everywhere, the children that are not safe, to the world that doesn't know Jesus. I cannot crawl in a hole and wait. I cannot hide in my home and refuse to get involved. When you have religious terrorists that are slaughtering Christians day after day, when you see America God's nation, who he has blessed above all else, any other nation. And we turn our back on God, and we say, well, why is this happening to us? Why are they on the streets killing innocent people? How about us as Christians standing up and speaking out instead of sitting down and shutting up? How about when Christians stand up and say, I love Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and if that costs my life, then you got to go through God to get it. Because you see, trust is trusting in the Lord. But when I trust and have faith in him, there are risks in life, folks. Risk. Well, you know, I don't know whether this is the right path. Try it. Well, what if I fall into another hole on that journey? That's good. That's good reason not to stay on that path. You got it? God said, I want you to freely choose me. I want you to freely, of your own free will, follow me. I don't want to make you follow me and give you a whole bunch of rules and regs. If you don't, God comes down with a big gavel and said, well, you're out. Folks, I can't be out when I'm already in. And through Jesus Christ, you and I are already there. He says it counted as though you're already there. And so this journey then that I must continue until the Lord calls, it'll be no doctor that tells me the cancer won't let me. It'll be no group that says you can no longer preach. It'll be no power that says that. Because I preach by the power of the Holy Spirit, and when he says that's enough. But it won't be until he says. How do I know that? Well, if they lock me up, you send a prison chaplain for 30 years and you're going to lock him up for talking about Jesus being the only way. All I'm going to do in that prison when they do is have a revival. Think of it. God prepares our life for tragedy. But he also prepares through that tragedy for success. What a lot of people don't understand is when you see an individual and they've given their life to the Lord and you look at him and you say, look, he has nothing. How was he ever blessed? There's nothing that he's ever done that was really a blessing. You know, he's just gone. No, he's not. No, she's not. The Lord just decided that's enough. God says, I will only allow you to do this to my children for a period. Then that's enough. When God says that's enough. So living, we live for the Lord. Dying, we go to be with the Lord. Or leaving this body, Christians will never die. We go to be with the Lord. But he says, here's your walk in life. Faith, trust, and risk equal fulfillment. Trust, risk, fulfillment equals success. See, it's peace of mind. Not how many pieces of property you own. Not how many things you have. But it's finding that eternal peace within. Faith, trust, and know that when you have the faith in Jesus Christ, and each step you take will be criticized. Each statement you make will be turned around. When we pay attention to that within our life, and you've got so many people angry with you, you praise God. For when you stand up and say, I will serve Jesus Christ as for me and my house, because the world will hate you. But what good is hatred with the world if they have no authority over you? Faith, trust him. Yeah, you know, life is risky, isn't it? You know why? Because God gives us the freedom to choose. Again, you got from A to Z, not A and B. You've got to have from A to Z. Here's your path. Now do life. you know, you started your new life when you accepted me. Now do life, and I give you that freedom. I don't understand that. I really don't. I do not understand how a sovereign God can allow us to have the freedom, and only when I get to heaven will I ever know, if I even know then fully. We will never know as God knows, but we forever will be with God. First of all, where God guides, God provides. Where God guides you, He will provide for you. Philippians 4:19, my God will fully supply whatever you need in accordance with His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Whatever you need. You know, for us in America, we have no needs. Even the poorest within this nation, we have no needs. We have a lot of wants. And if a child is hungry or a family is hungry, the parents need to start parenting. The parents need to start accepting responsibility. The parents need to become parents instead of best friends. Love your children, love your family, and take care of them. And if the parents don't do it, yes, it falls back on the church. And we do. I cannot tell you how many different folk we feed over a year from this church. And I'm thankful. All you listen, folks, you need to be here when a little kid is brought in with their parent and look at the eyes of that child. Oh, it gets me every time. So I guess a lot of them understand, take a kid with you, you know. And that's okay. But in the eyes of that child, your lesson you will teach them that day, whether it's making mom take them to McDonald's and buy them junk, or we give them junk from downstairs to see them light up, because they just met someone who loved them. Not all people who have children are parents that love. You agree with that? Not everybody that's called a parent is a parent. But God says, listen, when I guide you to do this, Larry, and He calls our name, I want you to understand something. I will provide for you. Don't worry about because you're broke. Well, how can I worry about it, Lord? You know, there's one thing about being broke, but I well remember the days when you're below broke. You remember that? You're below broke, and the Lord says, go. And when God gives us that freedom, folks go, He will provide and He will take care of His own. But the greatest blessing I have waiting me is stepping out of this human body. But the great blessing I have down here is to make sure I preach the gospel. That it must be the gospel that is proclaimed until the coming of the Lord, or me and you going to be with Him. Number two, when God delays, He knows what's best. In your prayer life, we call Him Lord, and we call on His name. You know, Lord, please answer this prayer. For one thing, God answers the prayers of all Christians. Yeah, don't let anybody try to fool you on that one. Yes, He does. But He's not going to answer a prayer that's going to harm you in the way you think He will. You see, that's what it's about. When you follow Jesus by faith, then trusting in Him, the risks are His problems, not mine. The call to preach, that nobody could stop me from preaching, no matter what they would say or do, because it wasn't my job to stop. My ministry was called to preach. Well, when you have, you know, Dobermans or Rottweilers, we love dogs. If nobody else would listen, I'd preach to the dog. He died, but not from that, I hope. But you think of that. See, the word must go out. Hebrews 2:3, these things I plan. Now listen to your life. These things I plan. This is God speaking. Won't happen right away. Remember the salvation filling and we know we're going to be with the Lord? It won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely. That's called life. Slowly, steadily, surely. The time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. Jesus will never be late. It's always been just at the right time. Jesus, even in his miracles, remember, he told his mother, said, woman, which is an honorable way, not the way it's said today, an honorable way, woman, what have I to do with this? When she told him to turn the water into wine, and everybody's looking at him, and I'm sure they said, no, he's got to be a Baptist. He's not going to do that. But he did. His mother asked him to. But what he said was, my time has not yet come, meaning to begin the very end of his ministry. You see, when God sent him, he was the cross, and he is the fulfillment of the cross. It's not a story without an ending. It is a story that has an ending only from this human side. You're never going to end. And yes, we will still know each other according to God's word. I suppose we just won't remember all the heartaches and the bad things because they cannot enter heaven. Number three, what God has given you, folks, he will multiply. I don't care what kind of broker you have or whatever. What God gives you, he multiplies. Don't think you're smart enough to do it on your own. But see, too often people think of things, money, that God will multiply. Do you realize how many people are looking for peace? They're just looking for something, a moment to where they can close their eyes and they're at peace. Without taking a pill, without smoking something, without drinking something, they just want to have that true peace. And the Lord says, peace I give to you. That's what following Jesus. Peace I give to you. I am at peace. But I only know that I'm at peace because God has given me that peace through his Son. I'm at peace. But from the human side, I will still have reflexes. When the time comes for me to move out of here, whether it's through breathing or whatever it is out of this body, the human part will kick in because the body was never created by God to die. Sin coming into the world condemned the body to where you and I cannot see God until we get out of these containers, vehicles God has placed us in for our duty and travel on earth. And he says, listen, I will take care. You need more food, I'll give it. 2 Corinthians 9:10. God gives seed to the farmer. He will also give you seed and multiply it. If your lie in your lives, he will increase the things you do that have his approval. See, that's the peace. Well, Lord, I asked you to do this in my life. I wouldn't approve of that, Larry, because that's not what it's going to take for your ministry. Here is your ministry I've called you to, and it's a ministry going to an individual. Each one of us, God has given a ministry, Christian. And the focus is, are you too busy doing life to pay attention to the one who gave us eternal life? It's always the question. Well, let me give you an answer for it all in number four. What God starts, He finishes. Philippians 1:6. I am sure that God, who began this good work in you, remember the cross, will carry it on until it is finished. On the day, now remember, if you're in the New Testament and you see on the day, or you see in that day, it's talking about the second coming of Jesus. On the day of Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:6. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is changing lives everywhere. Do we not see it? Are we not witnessing on what we call foreign soil? Christians being beheaded because they truly believe and will not renounce their Savior. They will not go against Him. All you need to do, if you'll convert to Islam, we won't cut off your head. Now see, you and I don't live in that type of an environment yet. But one thing you need to pay attention to. As the Lord says, the good news that came to you is going out all over the world. One of the questions that was asked by the family of those that were beheaded, do the Christians in America know what's going on over here? You know what's the best thing to do when it bothers you? They turn the TV off. I don't want to see that. It's all bad. Either lift them up in prayer and stand for them in prayer. Remember them. Father, you don't need their names. Father, please look at these nations who are slaughtering your children. As one of your children, I lift them to you. Have mercy. God blesses them by letting them come on and be with Him. But He's watching us. How do we, as Christians in a nation where we right now can speak out and proclaim the truth of Christ when we do not mention them? Well, we just don't want to rock any boats. The time has come, the boat needs to be sunk. The time has come for Christians to either stand up and be counted or just sit there and sit soaking sour. And that's the facts of God's Word. It is changing lives everywhere just as it changed yours. The equation for success is all in who you know. I go to heaven because I know Jesus. I know the blood of Christ has washed me. I'm not going to get there by saying, I'm a preacher, I was it. Yeah, well, preachers are not that popular nowadays. And I can tell you they're not that popular in heaven either. You do not have the right to change the truth. You do not have a right, none of us do, to sort of just smooth it over so it will taste better. Put a taste in there that's not real. Artificial flavoring for medicine. And watch your kids spit it out and say, that's not what that tastes like. See, that's what's going on. But we have an opportunity because we've been blessed to be right in the middle when all hell has broken loose in the world. And we know the answer. And His name is Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for giving us an opportunity to even mention Your name. We praise You, Father, because of such love. And we still don't understand. But we thank You, Father, for caring, for putting up with us. We praise Your name, Father, because of Your Son. And help us, Lord, that during the rest of this day or the week to come, that if we forget you, please don't forget us. Remind us through your love and help us to stand during these times. For I know, Father, that the battle is raging. I also know, Father, that you've already won. Thank you for letting us worship you. We ask a blessing now, Father, in each family that's represented, listening, those who are here, those who will listen later on. Bless them, Father, to receive the message that is truth, direct from you. We thank you, Father, for that opportunity. And thank you for letting us live to be able to deal with life. And Father, I thank you for cancer. I thank you for all the other illnesses that I have. I thank you, Father, for in the pain, I wake up to your love. In distress, Father, I see the hope. Father, thank you. Give us courage now as your children to stand strong and true. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.